Good morning, folks. It's good to be with you again in the Balmain Bible class. Please turn to the Word of God, and we're going into the book of Romans once again. It's been no surprise. We're back in Romans once again this morning. And with the Word of God open before us, we just wait on the Lord for His blessing and for His presence here as we consider the Word of God today. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee afresh for the opportunity to be found in the house of God. We thank the Lord for health and strength to be here. We thank the Lord for a place raised up for the preaching of Thy Word. And we thank the Lord we're found here washed in the blood of Christ this morning, saved and new creatures in the Lord. My Lord, we take this as no light thing, but we praise Thee to the best that we can this morning, thanking Thee for saving our souls, making us a new creature in Christ, saving us from a lost eternity, from the effects of sin in this world to the degree of causing us grievous. And Lord, we praise Thee today for doing what Thou hast done for us. My Lord, today as we come into the house, we would say in the words of the hymn writer, "Break Thou the bread of life, Lord, to me, to me." Lord, as You broke even the bread at the riverside to the apostles, Lord, we pray this morning and this day as a whole, You'll be pleased to break the Word of God, the bread of life, as it were, to us even today. Lord, feed us, we pray. We are men and women who need to be fed spiritually. There are children, Lord, who are in the Sunday school who need to be fed. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou'll be pleased to take the words of Scripture today and bless them to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, that Christ may be glorified, that the church may be edified and built up, that even, Lord, the kingdom of Christ should be advanced with the saving of souls this day. Lord, bless Thy word, we pray. Even bless us now, we ask of Thee. Bless all those who tune in on the radio, even on the broadcast. Lord, help us today, we pray. And may we know the presence and the help and the ministry of the Spirit speaking unto our hearts this day, giving Thee thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1. The verse number 1, now as opportunity has afforded itself to be here, we've been looking at Romans chapter 1 for some time now, and I appreciate that most of the folk here this morning haven't been here from week number 1, haven't really been following the study with us as opportunity has presented itself. So I want to just run down the verses and just give you a brief sentence on each one, just to recap on what we've seen thus far in Romans chapter 1. So verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And there, obviously, we have seen Paul's service for Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. Which he, that's the Lord, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And there we have seen Paul's message of Jesus Christ. Verse number 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In verses 3 and 4, we see Paul's Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning we're coming to verse number 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name. And here we see what Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I seen a textbook which Roman Catholic priests would use in their seminaries. It was their textbook. As I seen through the book, there was a hideous picture, I have to say. It was a picture, it was meant to illustrate how the blessings which Christ bought for us on the cross. It was meant to illustrate how those blessings would be distributed to us, Christ's people. And I had a picture of the Lord. And you know the picture, it's always an illustration, as it were, of apparently a Lord on the cross, and he's a man hanging there helplessly. It looks quite pathetic. That's always the way the pictures are. And there the blood was flowing from the Lord Jesus Christ. And below the Lord was a picture of Mary. And she had her hands outstretched to catch the blood, as it were. And she would become the mediator who would distribute all the blessings that Christ bought on the cross. Mary would be the one who would distribute all those blessings to Christ's people. That's absolute blasphemy. Completely wrong. Of course, Mary, again, she appeared as a woman who looked quite authoritative, well at herself, in comparison to the Lord who was weak and weary looking on the cross. That's always the way it's portrayed in the Catholic Church. And how wrong that is. I gave a picture as if Christ was unable to give blessings to his people. But when Christ was on the cross, he was purchasing their blessings for us today and for the church as a whole. There's no need for anyone to distribute them for him. Of course, Christ was well able and does give to his children what he has purchased for us. We come to a Christ this morning that we can pray to, who blesses us. In John 15:16, we read these words, "But whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, Mary will give it?" No. The Lord says, "He may give it you." It is God who gives us the blessings which we require from the day that we're saved right until he takes us home to glory and keeps us forevermore. It's the Lord who's bought them for us, and it's the Lord who distributes them to us. And that's what Paul is teaching here in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 5. He says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship." We're thinking here this morning on what we have received, or rather what Paul has received from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul begins his verse by saying, "By whom?" That's obviously Jesus Christ. In the previous four verses, he was talking about his Savior whom he serves. He's talking about the Savior whom the whole Old Testament and New Testament speaks of. He's speaking of the Savior who is the Son of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's by him, it's by whom we have received blessings and all the goodness which we require. So this morning I want to see the gifts that Paul received from the Lord and essentially what we have received from the Lord. Christ was on the cross. He bought for his people many blessings. And Paul specifically works on two here in verse number 5. Let's read the verse here again. Romans 1, verse 5. "By whom," Jesus Christ, "we have received grace." So the first thing that Paul speaks of receiving from the Lord is grace. He has received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace is essentially all the general blessings which men receive from God. Even the ungodly receive blessings. They receive life, receive rain, food, water, clothing, whatever the case may be. Grace essentially, in a general sense, is given to all men, but especially to God's people. Special grace is given to God's people and to them alone. But Paul here, he's not really speaking about general blessings. He's speaking specifically of his conversion. Paul is saying here that Christ, through Christ, we have received grace. You see, here's the gospel summed up in 6 words. I have to say, I do love this book. And I love the way Paul has portrayed it to us, ministered it to us, certainly through inspiration. But he's just summed up the whole gospel in 6 words. Look at it here. "By whom we have received grace." It's by Jesus Christ we have received salvation. There's the gospel in 6 words. Simply, plainly, very specifically. It's Christ who bought the grace of salvation. And it's Christ alone who enables us to partake of that salvation. All the grace that God bestows upon men, whether it be salvation, whether it be temporal blessings, whether it be spiritual restoration, whatever it is, it all flows from Christ. It's won by Christ and flows from him. And men and women, that's why we have to be found often at the throne of grace. That's why you must be found continually praying to the Lord. For he's the one who's won our blessings. And he's the one who distributes them. That's why it's so necessary to be in the place of prayer for yourselves. That continually you're asking and pleading and reasoning with the Lord that He would open up His hand and pour you out a blessing. That's why we need to be continually at the throne of grace before we come into the services. That we're asking the Lord to open up His hand and pour us out blessings for our families, for our church. We need to be often found at the feet of the cross, interceding and looking to the Lord. For He is the one who pours out blessings upon men. We can illustrate it this way. You take the valleys that are in Israel. When a dry season comes, obviously the valleys become immensely dry. But then the rainy season would often come and would fill the valleys full of water. And the valleys would channel the great flood of water in through the whole land of Israel, bringing life and refreshment to everything in its path. That's the Christ. In a sense, He's like that valley, that all the blessings of God are in Him and flow through Him. And to whoever He distributes them to receives blessings, spiritual life, and refreshment. And men and women, we need the rivers of God even today. We need spiritual reviving. We need grace. You think in the passage in Ezekiel 37, it speaks there about the waters that flowed. There was waters to the ankles. There was waters to the knees. There was waters to the loins. There was waters to swim in. That's all symbolic of the gospel. It's all symbolic of the grace of God flowing to men. Praise God, there's great sufficiency in God, but yet today, we don't seem to be swimming in waters deep enough to swim in, nor is the water up to our loins. When the floods come in powerfully, and when the grace of God flows mightily, many souls will be saved, the people of God will be going from strength to strength. We're not living in a day where the floods are about us, nor up to your waist. It doesn't appear that you're even to your ankles. Perhaps there's only a trickle. And men and women, we need to be in the throne of grace, often praying that the Lord would afresh send the floods, the souls would be saved, the church of Christ would grow powerfully, and that Christ's people would be blessed mightily. Nevertheless, men and women, we have received grace from God. But the joy is we draw from a great reservoir of grace which cannot be emptied. And oh, there's much more for God's people to partake of. And as I said, we cry of the words of the prophet, speaking of the Lord. The Lord says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive." That's what we need today. We need the Lord to open up the windows of heaven and pour out abundant grace. Men and women being saved. The church of Christ being blessed. As I read that verse, I was reminded of the words in James chapter 4, verse 6. Where he says there, regarding the Lord, He giveth much more grace. Paul says in verse 5 here, "It is by Christ we have received grace." Praise God, we've received salvation. And we have received many, many blessings. But God's people this morning, let me tell you in the words of James 4 and 6, as I've read to you already, He giveth more grace, more blessings. Folks, it's a wonderful reservoir of the grace and goodness of God. Though for days where we'll be found jumping right into the middle of it and swimming in the grace and the goodness of God, there's more experience, there's more power, there's much more for the church of Christ to experience in this day and in our generation. Paul says, "By whom we have received grace, and we have also received apostleship." See the word "we" there. Paul says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship." Who is the "we"? Some people would suggest that it's just Paul speaking in the plural. Some people would say it's Paul referring to himself and the other apostles, but that's most definitely not the case. When Paul says we, he's saying we receive grace, we receive apostleship, he's talking about himself and the Roman people and the church of God as a whole. The whole body of believers, the whole church of Christ, receive both this blessing of graces and this receiving of apostleship. But Paul is not saying that we're all called to be apostles. The first time we were here, we're looking at verse number 1. It talks there about Paul being an apostle, and there's no such thing as an apostle today. I'm not going to cover that ground again. There's marks which a man has to be apostle, such as seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and speaking infallibly and writing infallibly. There are all that list of things which a man must be able to do before he can be an apostle. And that's not the experience of any man today. The apostles were only given once. They were foundational to the church of Christ. Those men were required to give the word of God as a word to speak infallibly and depend the words of God for our benefit here today. See, the Lord laid the foundations of the apostles once. And you don't build a foundation twice when you're building a house. You build it once and you leave it there. And then you begin to build the house. So the apostles were only here on this earth for one occasion, and that was at the beginning of the New Testament church. You see, when Paul says here, he's talking about his apostleship, he's referring to his calling. That he is a man called of God. That he is a man who at the hands of Christ has received much grace, his salvation, many blessings, but he's also received a calling from the Lord. The men and women, there's not a man or woman here today who is not called of God in some degree. Paul is not saying, as I said, we're not, that we're called to be apostles. As I said, for the following reasons, we're not. I'll phrase the verse therefore like this: by whom we have received grace and our calling to serve the Lord, whatever that may be. Everybody has a job to do in the spiritual warfare. We all have a weapon to lift. We all have a battle to fight. That's the experience of every single believer. There's no doubt about that. Some people seem to have this foolish idea. And I have to say, folks, it's something I don't like at all. People seem to have this idea that it's only preachers who serve God. It's only men who stand at the pulpits really can serve the Lord. I'm sure you've all heard the term, and we all use it. And I know what people are meaning, but sometimes you use the phrase that someone's called in the full-time service. Does that mean everybody else is part-time? Does that mean somebody's unemployed? No. No, we're all full-time in God's service. And we all might have different spheres to work in. Maybe the full-time, so we're studying the Word and preaching the Word. We're all full-time witnesses. For the world's always watching on. And we're always called to live for Christ. See, this idea that preachers are the only men who really serve the Lord, that's a real lie from hell. And it's rocking God's people to sleep. Now, we're all servants of the Lord. You go to Acts chapter 1 here. I want to take you to this verse where Paul says, ye shall be witnesses. Acts chapter 1, and the verse number 8. Just halfway down the verse, he says there, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, who's he talking to? Who's the ye? Go back to the start of the verse number 8. He says, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be my witnesses. Well, who has received power? That's obviously the Spirit of God. Who has received power? Who has received the Spirit of God? Everyone who's saved. When you're saved, you receive power. The Spirit of God, you receive power. And therefore the Lord is saying here, if ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye are my witnesses. And the whole church of Christ, all believers, are called to be the witnesses of God. Perhaps you're a father or a mother here this morning. Maybe you're not a preacher, but you're a parent. Now let me give you my opinion here. I think that's one of the biggest and one of the greatest responsibilities that God can give to a man or woman. That the Lord should be pleased to give a man or woman the privilege of raising one of his own children, to feed them physically, and to minister to them spiritually from the Word of God. That is some responsibility indeed. But men and women, if you're a parent today, you're called to be a witness in the home. That's your calling. If you're out in the workplace, maybe you labor at home, whatever the case may be, the Lord has placed you there. And you're called to be a witness there. That's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 1. He says, by whom we, the body of Christ, all believers, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He's saying here, I didn't make myself an apostle. He's saying, God gave me this office of the apostle. Now, you haven't made yourself a parent. God has given you the gift of a child. And he's given you the responsibility, the office of being a parent. He's given you the office of standing in the workplace and being a witness. He's given you the office of standing at home or wherever you may be. And there you're called to be a witness for Christ. Paul is saying here that he has received grace. He has received a calling. And men and women, every believer in here this morning has received a calling from God. And what a responsibility indeed it is to be called of God. But you know, it's possible for an individual to feel in their calling. It's possible to feel in your calling. Now, obviously, we can't lose our salvation. We can't feel in our salvation. That end of things. But men can be called. And men can feel in their calling. Now, you may ask, how can the Lord work all things out in his divine will and in his providence, yet hold men accountable for their faults and feelings? How can that be the case? Well, no man can answer that nor grasp that. But the point of the matter is, God can. And he's worked it all out. That men are responsible for their own calling. Men will be, well, if they feel, they're held accountable. They're also rewarded for their faithfulness. I want to turn you to a couple of verses just to prove that fact. We're speaking here about the calling. Paul received the calling from the Lord as apostleship, and men can feel in that calling. Paul didn't, but men can. And Paul could have, but he didn't. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, we read these words. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every man's going to give an account for what he does and what he did in his lifetime. We can also go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take these two verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 13. It says here, every man's work shall be made manifest. He's going to give account for it. It shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's two men, they're working. One has just spent his life producing what we call really wood and hay and stubble. Another man has spent his life, he's been making precious stones and things which don't burn up. See, men and women, we are held accountable for the calling which the Lord has given us, whether it's at home, whether it's in the pulpit, or whatever it may be. Nevertheless, we're held accountable for it. So let's not be like the hyper-Calvinist, sitting back, just saying, you know, the Lord will sort things out. People will be saved without me preaching the gospel. Nor let's be like the Arminian, thinking that all depends upon us, because it doesn't. Let's be a well-balanced Christian, well-balanced in our calling, going out to witness to people and to proclaim the gospel in whatever circles we're found in, at home or wherever. But after proclaiming the gospel, let's go to the place of prayer and leave it all with the Lord. That's a well-balanced Christian. We do tend, you know, we're often like pendulums. That's what men are like, and women. We always go to one extreme or the other. We need to find the middle ground. Continually labor to be found there for the glory of God. So Paul and the church, as we said, as a whole of Christ, has received gifts to enjoy. That's the graces. But the church of Christ and Paul has also received the gift of a responsibility, of a calling. We have received graces, and we have received our apostleship, as we read in Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 5. So that's the gifts that we have received. Now, why if we receive these gifts? What's the reason that the Lord has given to His people these gifts? Well, Paul states it there. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Why? There's three reasons. Firstly, for obedience to the faith. Why have we received salvation and grace? All the blessings which we have received in this life. And why have we received our calling? Well, firstly, Paul says it's for obedience to the faith. See, Paul is a believer, and as an apostle, he was commissioned to proclaim the gospel to men and to women, that they would be obedient to the faith. That they would be obedient to the gospel. That's what he's saying there. Obedience to the faith is obedience to the gospel. You have the phrase again in Acts chapter 6 and the verse 7. We read these words in Acts 6 verse 7. And the word of God's increased. This is referring to the days of Stephen. The Lord was blessing, and the apostles were preaching. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Paul was called so he could serve the Lord in speaking to people about their need to be obedient to the faith. And that's why we're called to reason and to persuade people to be obedient to the faith, to be obedient to the call of the gospel. Men and women, in our land today, there are marriages breaking up. There are people afflicted greatly under the weight of sin, miserable lives wasted. But we have an answer. And we also have a responsibility to proclaim the answer to people. What is the answer? It's the gospel of saving grace, redemption through the blood of Christ. And we're all called to preach the gospel where? In Jerusalem and further afield. We're called to preach the gospel at home, in our own time, in our own houses, in our own families. I was reading just this week a book, and it happened to mention about a young boy. I thought it was interesting. It was a young boy. He had just read the story of Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan's book. And he read Pilgrim's Progress, and he went to his mother, and he asked his mother, who is your favorite character in the story of Pilgrim's Progress? And the mother said, well, it's Christian, obviously. He's the main character. The little boy looked at his mother, and he disagreed. He said, no, my favorite character is Christiana. That's Christian's wife. And he gave a reason for that. He said, when Christian set out in his pilgrimage, he went alone. But when Christiana set out in her pilgrimage, she brought her family with her. A lot of truth in that. I thought that was interesting. We're called to preach the gospel. And he said here, it's for the obedience of the faith, and we're called to it first of all at home. Men and women, be faithful at home with your families. Be faithful in your workplace. There's a man that once said, and I think it was very, very true, the only thing you can take to heaven with you is your children. And that's right. We're called to be in the workplace, and we're called that men might be obedient to the call of the gospel. We have been saved and called to alert men and women to their need of being saved. So strive faithfully in your own home, in your own town. But Paul continues here. He says that certainly it's for men to be obedient to the faith, but he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations. Certainly we're to preach the word at home. We're also to proclaim the message of the gospel even further afield. It's the great work of evangelism to spread the gospel throughout the land. And that's why we're a church, a denomination, who believes in sending out people to the mission field. That's why we financially support people. That's why we pray for them, because we believe. It's not a matter of believing. God has commanded that the word of God ought to go to all the corners of the world. That's why we send out missionaries. And that's what Paul's saying here. The men and women are saved and we're called. Now, why are we not saved and just go home straight away to glory? We're saved for the great work of evangelism, and we're called to fulfill that very calling in our lives. And Paul says here, certainly it's for obedience to the faith of all men, but it's also among all nations across the whole world. You know what? I think a missionary-minded people will always be a very spiritually prosperous and blessed people. A missionary-minded church will be a blessed church. And praise God, we are part of a missionary-minded church. But as individuals, we need to be missionary-minded. Paul was. Of course, he was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. A man who went around preaching the gospel. But you might not be called to the mission field, and I fully grasp that. But you all know that there are ways that we can even take part in our great calling of spreading the gospel even to the ends of the world. It's by praying, obviously, for our missionaries. Paul said here, we're saved, we're called, for what reason? That men may be obedient to the gospel, not only at home, but also around the world. How do we fulfill our calling in spreading the gospel around the world? Well, obviously, it's by prayer. Now, how do you pray for missionaries? How do you pray for missionaries? Let me just take you a really quick Bible study here on some ways of praying for missionaries. You know the verse. I'm just going to read them to you here quickly as time flies on. Need to pray for laborers. You know that. Men who will be willing to be sent anywhere. Men and women who are willing to serve anyone. Men and women who are willing to sacrifice everything. Of course, that's commanded in Matthew 9, in the verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. How do you pray for missionaries? How do you pray for the advancement of the gospel around the world? Pray for men to be sent. You may be the one who is the answer to that prayer. You may well be. And you know, it's not only young people who are sent to the mission field. Maybe you're an older man or woman here this morning. You can be praying that the Lord advances his work in the mission field. And you could well be that answer. The church, we know that the Lord gives to the church preachers and teachers. And we need teachers and preachers today. There's no doubt about that. Is the Lord failing his church by not giving workers? Our mission field is sitting with many churches vacant. Why are there not preachers? Is it because the Lord's failing to call men? I don't believe so. The men can fail in their calling. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an older man or woman this morning. I don't know. Maybe there's someone listening in. But when we pray for the mission field, be prepared yourself to go. Regardless to your age, we need men. We need women to serve in the mission field, and we need men. And folks, our church is in a Let me phrase this right. Our church is needy because we need men. We need preachers. There's no doubt about that. Our denomination, we have many, many churches, and we're just chatting about it. Myself and one of the other students this the other week there. We have many churches, and many churches vacant. And it's been a long time since we've been taking new ground for God. We're struggling to fill the very churches which we have, let alone take new ground. Our church was formed, and for years after it was formed, year after year, there was new churches being established, new missionaries going out, the work of God advancing and going from strength to strength. Today we can hardly fill the churches that we have, let alone take new ground. There is a need for men. Folks, I am asking you, in the authority of God's word, pray for laborers, for the mission field, and we're a mission field here ourselves at home now. Pray for the Lord to send forth laborers. We're thinking here of how to pray for missionaries, how to pray for the mission field. We pray for laborers, as we said. We can also pray for the Lord to open doors. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 4, in the verse 3. It says here, with all praying, this is Paul speaking to the people, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Need to pray for the Lord to send laborers. Need to pray for the Lord to open doors. Open governmental doors. Open language doors. Open cultural doors. Open the doors of men's hearts and minds to the reception of the gospel. May the Lord to open doors so that our missionaries can get into the works where their hearts are burdened for. Pray for laborers. Pray for open doors. Pray for the Lord to give deliverance to his children who labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, we read these words, for a great door and effectual door is open to me. The people had been praying. The Lord had opened a door to Paul and the apostles to go to preach the word. But he says, and there are many adversaries. Certainly the enemy is out to contend against the advancement of God's, of Christ's gospel among all nations. Pray against that. Pray also the gospel may be preached, and that it would be prosperous. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Paul says there, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. There's no doubt about it. In our land, the word of God has been prosperous. But as it has been prosperous with us here in Ulster, may it be prosperous also for missionaries who go out to take new ground for Christ. Now let me leave just one other verse with you. Time's almost gone here. It's in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Why don't you turn with me here? 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're thinking here about praying for the advancement of all nations, of the gospel amongst all nations. And in 1 Samuel chapter 12, in the verse 13, we read these words. Samuel says, moreover, as for me, God forbid. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12, 23. Samuel says, God forbid that I forget, that I would cease to pray for you. Men and women, may the Lord even do the same for us, that we would be saved from ceasing to pray for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, for missionaries, for the glory of God. We'll go back to a verse here and we'll close with this. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 5, by whom we have received, by Jesus Christ, we have received what? We've received grace. We have received apostleship. We have received it because for obedience to the faith among all nations for his glory. And there it is. Why all these blessings? Why all this grace given to the church of Christ? Why are we called? It's all for one great reason. It's for his name. It's for the glory of God. And folks, when we grasp that, when we grasp a true vision of Christ, when our hearts are fastened on the Lord and what he's done, then and only then Will we properly fulfill our calling and be men and women who are called and labour at home, in our prayers, maybe in our own selves, going to the mission field? It's only when we see it true and get a grasp of Christ. It's only when we're consumed with a desire to see the name of God lifted up, then will we only be effective in our calling for Christ. Nothing else really matters in this life. Only what's done for Christ. Everything else is going to burn up except what we've done for the Lord. I hope as we've considered this verse this morning, it comes with some more clarity to your heart as we proceed on through Romans chapter 1. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and heavenly Father, we rejoice that there is one who sits at the right hand of God and who truly has purchased every blessing for the church of Christ today. And we rejoice, O Lord, that thou art still in the business of blessing, of giving out grace to the church of Christ. And my Lord, we ask of thee in this day and generation, we will see a great increase in the blessings given to the church of Christ. The Lord, the work of God should go from strength to strength, that there will be men and women called, that the work of God will go even further afield into the world, that new ground will be taken, that the places which we have will be taken up with men of God, that the people of Christ will grow from strength to strength, that God will be glorified, that his name would be exalted, and that people would truly be obedient to the faith, to the gospel, both at home and among all nations. Lord, bless this word to our hearts this morning. Continue to bless even the word to our hearts this day. Lord, come down, pour us out a blessing. Lord, we want to prove thee today. May the windows of heaven be opened, souls be saved, the people of Christ edified, and Christ uplifted far above all. Lord, do these things for us, we pray. Lord, you've promised. Lord, you've bought the blessings for us. Lord, open up your hand and do us good this day, giving thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Amen. Amen.